of your holy name. Lord, rebirth and worship. We stand in awe, we stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow.
Lord, we bow and worship you.
Lord, we bow.
Lord, we bow and worship you.
Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the adoration. We stand in awe of you. Majesty in the heavens, whose glory fills all the heavens, whose faithfulness reaches to the farthest star. To whom shall we compare you? With whom shall we liken you? There is none like unto you. Thou alone art God. Thou art the Most High God forevermore. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for your thoughts over our lives that are good, of peace, not of evil, to give us a future and a hope, to bring us to the expected end of your eternal counsel. We appreciate your gathering us together at your feet again to hear from you. Lord, as we go into this time of the word, I duck under the covering of our said fathers, my father, our fathers in this house, Pastor Omomi. And we beseech you, O God, that according to your holy covenant and mercies that you have granted them up to date, there be a release of rivers of living water from you, through them, through me to your people, that there will be a free course for your word, that through your word, O God, we will be changed. We will be transformed. Something unique, something unprecedented will be wrought in our hearts, in our lives. Oh, with an unveiled face, we will see your glory in the mirror of that word, and we will be changed from glory unto glory. Blessed be your name, our God. Pray, O God, that by your anointing, O God, you will destroy every yoke. You will undo every burden. You will cause all needs that are here to be met. You will cause your counsel to be established. Thank you for unprecedented open heavens. Thank you for the visions and revelation of our God. Blessed be your name for your word that comes expressly. Thank you for your mighty hand that rests upon us all, that you stretch forth to wrought miracles, signs and wonders confirming your word. Be thou glorified. Individually as a people, you carry us further in your plan and purpose. And we'll be grateful that we appeared in your presence. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Open our hearts to receive your word with meekness. This word that is able to save our soul. To attend to it as we ought to, that it might profit us. And the profiting will appear to all. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on us all. And through the abundance of your mercy, do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to your power that works in us. Let your name be glorified. Oh, let our parents, our fathers in the Lord see the travail of their soul to what you will do, and let them be satisfied. In Jesus' name. We stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you. Lord, we bow. Lord, we bow and worship. Open our Bibles to Psalm 102. We're going to start from verse 12. We're going to read a lot of scriptures today, so let's just follow whatever the Spirit of the Lord is doing. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generation. Next verse. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yet the set time is come. The next verse. For thy servant take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. Verse 16. And when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Let's go to Jude chapter 20, verse 21. Okay, but you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. We are in an appointed time. God's appointed time. An appointed time for his glory to appear in Zion. Pastor has, you know, said a lot about this. But we need to be established in it that this is a time that is like no other time. You know, using Psalm 81 verse 3, Pastor told us, you know, about that, you know, the appointed time has to do with the moon, with the feast, and with the building up of Zion, that when the three coincide together, God will appear in glory. And we have the signs. We have the signs in the moon tetrad. We have the signs in the feast. The moon tetrad is coinciding with the feast. It's not coincidence. It's an arrangement in heaven. And Zion, too, is being built up. Now, in this appointed time, God is arising in glory and power to favor and to bless Zion. We know who Zion is, so I don't want to belabor that. We have been taught that so many times. But Zion is simply this, you know, the perfect church, or the church, you know, with perfect leadership and perfect followership, operating the principles of perfection, you know. And we are part of the Zion church, and we are privileged. You see, you don't look at yourself in the natural. Don't look at yourself in the natural. Look at yourself in the spirit, like God sees you. Amen. You are part of Zion. Now, why is God arising in glory and power to favor and bless Zion? So that the salvation and the blessing of the nation, our nation and the nations, can come out of her. So that the blessing of even our own families and our generations, and even the church nation, can come out of Zion. Let's look at Psalm 14, verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel, oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. And when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Judah shall rejoice, and Israel, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Even the church nation, I hope you know that the church is a nation. The Bible calls it, you know, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Even the church, the universal church, is awaiting a blessing and a salvation that can only come out of the glory of God appearing in Zion. Amen. Not only the nations, not only our nation. Let's look at Psalm 128, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that fear the Lord. The next verse. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. The next verse. And thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. What God wants to do in Zion is also not only for nations, for individuals too. For the man that fear the Lord, there is only one place that blessing is coming out from, is Zion. You know, he said it in Psalm 113. He said, there the Lord has commanded blessing, even life forevermore. Outside Zion, there is no blessing. Now, he said, the Lord shall bless the man that fear him. Where? Out of prayer. Out of Zion. And he will see what? The good of Jerusalem. All the days of his life. Then he will see his children's children. And peace upon Israel. So what we are establishing is very simple. God is arising in glory and power. To favor and bless Zion. So that the salvation and the blessing. Of the nations. Can come out of her. Praise the Lord. Now. God is building up Zion. He's finalizing the building up of Zion. Wow. There's something I want to use to explain it. You see, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. He said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. Said the Lord. He said, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt be made plain. He said, Zerubbabel will bring forth the headstone, shouting grace, grace unto it. Now, in medieval times, when a building is being built, you know, they reserve the last stone as a ceremony for the governor.
the last stone to be built, the governor will come and put the last stone on top of the building. Then the building will be finished. Now, it is that last stone that is about to be put upon Zion. Then Zion will be built. Then we will see the glory. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. You need to understand that. That's why, if you see the passion in pastor, do you understand what I mean? You have to be seeing something in the spirit. If you look at the natural, it doesn't appear as if anything tangible is going to happen in the world. When the Lord Jesus was born too, do you understand? It didn't appear as if anything significant was about to be done. Yet, the most significant thing was being done. Do you understand? Amen. So you don't look outward to understand what God is doing. You look inward. I don't know about you. Something changed this year in my life, inside my heart. Do you understand? I know that there is a significant operation of the Spirit of God in my life. I may not be able to explain it. Things are not the same right from the beginning of this year. Do you understand? Now, God is finalizing the building of Zion in order to appear and fully manifest His glory on the earth. You see, when we talk about this glory, 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 you need to understand something, that the passion of God is to fill the earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. You see, God has a passion. It's not a recent passion. He said, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." Now, listen. If you don't understand the context where God said this, you won't understand that passion. Now, look at this statement. It's not a promise. Is a oath, an oath. God swore. He said, "As truly as I live," that means it's irreversible. God is not promising them. He's making a statement of oath to make sure that His passion comes to pass on the earth. He said, "As truly as I live," God is swearing here. When God swears, it's because He wants to establish an immutable counsel, irreversible counsel. He said, "As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God." Let's go to Habakkuk. Oh, let me try and give you the context of this. You will understand. Let's go to verse 20 of this. Back up. Verse 20 of this. Okay. Now, this is Moses pleading for the people. The 12 spies have gone out. They have come back with an evil report. And God has said, "They will not enter my promised land. All of them will perish in the wilderness." And Moses was pleading for them. "Pardon, I beseech you, the iniquity of these people, according to the greatness of your mercy, as thou hast forgiven these people from Egypt up to now." Verse 20. And God said, "I have pardoned according to your word." Then verse 21. He said, "But!" That means, when he was bringing them out of Egypt, he had a passion that when I bring them to the promised land, through them, I will fill the earth with my glory. Now, they have failed him. They are going to die in the wilderness. But God said, "Even though you die in the wilderness, do you understand? I will raise up another company so that this passion will be fulfilled." Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's read verse 2 to 4. Then we'll read verse 14. "And the Lord answered and said, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the table, that I may run that reads it." Verse 3. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. And though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. He's talking about a vision here. He says, for an appointed time. He said, do it tarry, wait for it, will not tarry. What is the vision? Verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. It's for an appointed time. The truth now is that the appointed time for that vision has come. Now, when we are talking about glory, we are talking about a dimension of glory that has not been seen before. You know, when he was talking in Numbers chapter 14, he said, all these people that have seen my glory, that I manifested in Egypt, I manifested in the wilderness, yet they did not believe, they will perish here. Yet, the glory he wants to show goes beyond that. He showed them that so that they can have a foretaste, and they can latch and say, ah, we want more of this. But instead of believing, they were asking for cucumber leeks and, well, Lord have mercy, sensual people. Now, what are we bringing out here? We are in an appointed time that God is finalizing the building up of Zion and is appearing in his glory, a dimension of glory that the whole earth has not seen before. It's going to be as much as the waters cover the sea. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Now, God is going to do it through a body of people. And that body of people is Zion. And you are a stone. In that body. Amen. Okay. Now, how does this now affect us? Every member of Zion now should intelligently cooperate and collaborate with God and his set men in Zion to build up Zion by first building him himself or herself up on our most holy faith. Do you get all the links now? Now, you have your part. God has his own part. It was because the first people unto whom the word came did not mix it with faith and do their part. That is why he has to think of another set of people. Concerning us, he won't think of another set of people.
Amen.
You know, he said it to Esther. He said, if thou altogether hold your peace, he said, there shall arise enlargement and deliverance from another else. But as for the purpose of God, it will be come to pass. There is a hope. So, the most important thing now is that God, through our apostolic and prophetic fathers, is helping us to understand the times and the season that we are and what we ought to do so that the purposes of our God can be fulfilled in our day. Amen. So, if you're a member of Zion, your passion should be to build up yourself on your most holy faith. If you don't have that passion, then you don't have the same passion that God has. Then you are not building together with God. God forbid that they should start track you. Let's read Jude, verse 20 and 21 again. Are we there? Now, he said, but you beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I don't know whether you have read Jude thoroughly before. You find out that in Jude, this is the only portion. That talks about positive thing. Every other thing, if you start from the beginning, it talks about people that left their estate, people that he brought out, and he said he brought them out of Egypt. Yet, he could only two entered, Caleb and Joshua, and all that. He talked about angels that left their first estate and judgment. He talked about Cain. He talked about Korah. He talked about Balaam. He talked about unscrupulous people who have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. That's what you see in the universal church, so to say. Spots. You wonder, can anything good come out of this church? Yet, inside that church, there is a remnant. It is that remnant that Jude is talking to. That build up yourself on your most holy faith. Eh? Do you understand? Do you get what I'm trying to say? It is me and you that Jude is talking to. In the midst of, you must have had many stories about what is happening in the church. And you wonder, when you read Jude, you wonder, yet. Even them, although they are waiting for that appearing of glory in us, because it's the appearing of the glory in us that will bring salvation unto them. That will save them from their lasciviousness. That will save them from their, wicked ways, so to say. So, God, the hope of God is in us. The hope of the nation is in us. The hope of even the universal church is in Zion. The hope of the universe is in Zion. And this Zion that we are talking about is me and you. It is time, do you understand me, to awake to the reality of the times that we are in and honestly contend for the faith. Are you getting what God is saying? Praise the Lord. Now, so the theme, my message, the title of my message is Building Up Yourself on Your Most Holy Faith. Amen. Thank God for the title. But what we need is more than the title. We need to run with the message. If you get the title and you don't run, building up yourself on your most holy faith. What is our most holy faith? The word most holy is always associated with God in the Bible. If you run through the Bible, scan through the Bible, anytime you see most holy, it's referring to God. Most holy place, that's where God dwells. Most holy altar, the altar that belongs to God. Huh? Most holy sacrifice, the sacrifice that belongs to God. Anytime you hear most holy, is God. So most holy faith is talking about God's kind of faith. It's talking about the faith that God exercised when he came out onto the precipice of creation and say, let there be. And incidentally, when we were born of God by his Spirit, he gave us that kind of faith too. He gave us the measure of faith. The issue is that sometimes we don't value it. We count it not to be as precious as it is. Let's see what Peter described that faith to be. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Let's hear what Peter says about that faith. Verse 1 and 2. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained what? Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's talking about a precious faith. A similar kind of faith, the apostolic faith. The faith that they received and they built up upon to do the mighty works and the apostolic work that is written in the Acts of Apostles. Now, he's saying that that same kind of faith is the same like precious faith that God is giving to every saint. Now, what God is saying is, build up on it. Because what everybody gets is the measure. But he gave them talents too. Each person was supposed to multiply his talent. Take your measure from the measure to 10 measure. Build it up. Move from 10 to 100. Build it up. Move from 100 to 1,000. Build it up. Move from 1,000 to... Now, wherever you are, as long as your heart is bent towards going on, you are still... Do you understand what I mean? Like Pastor was saying when he was talking about when we started praying for this spirit without measure, everybody can come at his level. And if you are faithful, it will start. Amen. 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 Now, that most holy faith is also called the faith of the Son of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Say, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Do you get that qualification? That means the faith that the Son of God himself had, that he used to exercise and did what he did. That was the faith that Jesus was trying to tell Peter and all the disciples on the day he spoke to the fig tree. Peter said, Master, the fig tree which you cause is withered from the root. And the next thing Jesus will say is, have God's kind of faith. If you have the same kind of faith, you will say to the man, that means it is available to you too. Don't look at me as if I'm special. God gave it to me, and it's available to you too. We are heirs and joint heirs with him. Praise the Lord. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that without the unity of this faith of the Son of God and many other things, we will not come to the perfect man. Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 4, let's start from verse 11 and we go to verse 14. Verse 14 is actually where, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, yes, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. He's talking about two things there, the faith of the Son of God, the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, there are two different things. But it's going to take the unity of the two to come unto a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's where we're going. It's a building. It's still the same. It's just synonymous terms talking about the building up of Zion. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Quickly, let me just, quickly alight the vitality and importance of this, our most holy faith. Without it, we are in sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 23 tells us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, sometimes you know some things, you've heard them, but it has not registered. If you are not operating in God's kind of faith, you are in sin. Okay? But I just want to quickly allow that because that's, so that by the time we start talking about other things, you know why it's important to build up ourselves on this most holy faith. Now, we are made righteous and kept righteous by this faith. And we do righteousness by it too. By faith. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38 says, the just shall live by faith. Abi. And God said, if any man will draw back from this most holy faith, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 11, 5, 6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. And before God took him, he has this testimony that he pleased God. But he used something to please God. Is that holy faith? Most holy faith. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without that faith, we will not enter into our promised land. The people that perished in the wilderness was because of their own belief. Hebrews 4:1-2 says they had the word, but they didn't mix it with faith. So that faith is very crucial to get to where we are going. Not to only get to where we are going, for God to get to where he's going. You know why? Hey, listen to this. God performs his word through our faith. So when God does not have any person who is going to exercise faith in his promise, it becomes difficult for him to perform that word. Luke chapter 1 verse 45. He said, blessed is she that believeth. There shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Supposing she didn't believe. That's Mary. Supposing she didn't say, be it unto me according to your word. That purpose of bringing the Christ. Eternal purpose of God was being fulfilled. God wants to send a forerunner for the Christ. And he has chosen his household. And an angel appeared. You know, Pastor talked about it in recent times. And an angel appeared and said, Oga, you are going to give birth to a son. It will be mighty before the Lord and all that and all that. Instead of agreeing with God. And the angel said, let's look at what the angel said. Luke 1:20. I hope I got it. Luke 1:20. Behold, is the car that will be done for. Behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Every word has a season for fulfillment. So if you don't believe it, God, except for his own case, because there was no other person. Some people have prayed. Pastor told us that it wasn't the faith of Zechariah that brought John the Baptist. It was the faith of Anna and Simeon and all those people who prayed. But the truth that we are trying to bring out is that God performs his word through our faith. So he always looks for somebody on the earth to believe him for it. So he's calling us to believe him now, build up ourselves on our most holy faith and believe him for the appearing of that glory in Zion. So he needs us. We are talking about why this most holy faith is vital. We save our soul with our faith. 1 Peter 1:9 tells us about the hand of our faith, which is the salvation of our soul. It takes faith to operate those principles that Pastor mentions there every Wednesday. It takes most holy faith to know that when you operate that thing in a cycle, it's going to do something inside you, something that you are not seeing, but you have a witness of, that something is changing, that you have a wise stone. Did you get it? It takes faith to do it again and do it again and do it again, knowing that it's taking you somewhere, that you are moving forward, even though you are not seeing the movement forward physically. You know, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Okay. We walk with God by faith. That's what, you know, not by sight. That's what Enoch proved. We fight the good fight of faith to seize of eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12. And the good fight of faith is good because we always win. That's why it's a good fight. Every other fight is bad. But the good fight of faith is good because you will be the winner. When you lay hold of eternal life, I mean, the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. We run our race and we finish our course by faith. That's why that most holy faith is so crucial. Everything that we have to do with, there's nothing we can remove from it. You know what Paul said? 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight, Abby. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Amen. Amen. We heard the promises and we receive answers to our prayers by the same faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, be followers of those who through. So, no faith, no patience, no inheritance of promise. James chapter 1, verse 5, Pastor talked about in a recent Bible study. If anybody lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Abi, who does not upbraid, but give it to every man liberally. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let not that man that waver think he will receive anything from God. Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive. So without faith, you will not inherit the promise and you will not receive the answers. Where are we going? Why it is so important to God and why it's so important to me and you? Even the love walk, we love and forgive by faith. Hello? 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. We love and forgive by faith. Do we have it there? This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us. This is the commandment of life and love that Pastor taught us. And you believe on the Son, on the name, so that you can have life. And through the quickening of that life, you can love, you can forgive spontaneously. We do exploit by the same faith, mighty works. The Bible talks in Hebrews chapter 33 to 34 about those who through faith wrought righteousness, subdue kingdom, quench the violence of fire, receive the dead back from life. Now, and all those people are Old Testament people. And we, the New Testament people, are what? Established upon better promises. So, we see and understand the invisible, even God, and serve him by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27 said, he endured seeing him. Amen. Amen. You can't understand what God is doing except you understand it by faith. He said, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. If you want to understand by logic, it will not happen. You know, so that's why when Pastor Kunle was preaching on Sunday, he said, look, you have to leave this reasoning and philosophy. Because philosophy will remove you. Sometimes, do you understand? The only way to understand God is by faith. What he says, you believe it, you act on it, and you experience it. In God's kind of faith, you have to first of all believe before you see. It's not Thomas' kind of faith. Thomas' kind of faith, I have to touch, see, before you believe. That's not the faith you have to build upon. It's Abraham's kind of faith. God came and said, he said, what will you give me since I don't have a child? He said, come. What is that in the heaven? He said, stars. Oh, yeah, start counting. 1, 2, 3. He counted and counted, and his hand was swimming. And in the midst of the vision of things, God said, so shall thy seed be. And the Bible said, he believed. And it was counted to him for righteousness. And through that believing, in the sight of God, God said, you have become a father of many nations. Romans chapter 4. And he believed in hope, against hope, that what God has promised might come to pass. So what are we establishing? Simple. That most holy faith is not negotiable. So we must build on it. God needs it. We need it. I just went to that to, you know, help you understand why we must build on our most holy faith. So crucial. So God wants us to build up ourselves on our most holy faith. But not only on our most holy faith alone. There are so many other things that associate with this most holy faith that we are to build up ourselves upon too. Things like the fruit of the Spirit. I hope you know that that most holy faith will not work without love. It will not work without patience. It will not work without meekness. It will not work without temperance. Do you understand what we are trying to say? So, we are building up ourselves on our most holy faith. We are also building up ourselves on what I call allies of this most holy faith. That this most holy faith also needs to fulfill all that is in God's heart. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, patience. Are you following me? So, we build up ourselves on our most holy faith, and all this associate of God's kind of faith. We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit. They are associates of faith. That's Peter. He said, heart to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If these things abide and abound in you, you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and so many things, you know. Let's read that scripture. 2 Peter. Okay. Let's start from verse 5. So beside this, giving all diligence. Someone say giving all diligence. Heart to your faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. Yes. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Next verse. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Never fall. Amen. Amen. So, we build up ourselves on our most holy faith. And also on other associates of this most holy faith. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, diverse kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit. What are we? All those. We have talked about that. I'm not planning to teach on that. I just want to mention it so that we can go into how we can build up ourselves on these things. You know, we build up ourselves on our most holy faith and associate. Another associate is, you know, ministry gifts. You know, there's something that Pastor has been saying, that if you are working at becoming more like Jesus, along the way, you become an apostle, you become a pastor, you become a teacher, because all those things are in Jesus. Do you understand what I mean? So, It's not these things actually that you are actually trying to build. You are trying to become more like Jesus. Do you get it? Okay. Okay. Now, so God wants us to build up ourselves on our most holy faith and all these associates. Praise the Lord. How? How do we build up ourselves on our most holy faith? Let's go back to Jude chapter verse 20. At least he gives us some three principles there. Number one, by praying in the Holy Ghost. Number two, by keeping ourselves in the love of God. Number three, by looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Before, you know, before I used to think it's only by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, most of us know that if you pray in the Holy Spirit, your faith will be built up. But that's not all the truth. That's just one. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Love is so important for faith to work. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. So keeping ourselves in the love of God is also crucial. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ is also crucial. The dimension of the mercy is that there will, no matter the level of faith that you have developed, no matter the level that you have perfected in love, there will still be areas that you are still not reached. So mercy has to cover for you in that area. Now, before, we used to think that it's the person that is weak that needs mercy. Everybody needs mercy. Even the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this thing that we are talking about, did the Lord Jesus himself do it? Yes. He built up himself on his most holy faith. Definitely you know that he prayed in the Holy Ghost, don't you? Or you don't believe? He did. Did he keep himself in the love of God? Did he look to God for mercy? Yes. In fact, one place he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, look, you're always tithing. He said, but you have omitted the weightiest matters of the law. Now, how did he know that that was a major matter? Because that's what he was doing. He didn't teach what he wasn't doing. The Bible says what he began to. Yes. That was why when he was in the wilderness, angels came to strengthen him because he was looking for mercy. When he was in Gethsemane, angel came to strengthen him. He was looking for mercy. That's why anytime they put him into a corner with a trap, with a knee, you just see him. He's looking for mercy. And mercy will supply. Then he will talk. Amen. Mercy rejoices over judgment. Now, that's why Pastor has been teaching us in recent times. In your thoughts, always thank God and ask for mercy. It's not a religious phrase. It's part and parcel of what will build you up. Because the mercy of God, like Pastor has taught us, is the compassion of the Lord that makes God to release life from outside. To help you to do what you cannot do because of the weakness of your infirmity inside. And it is that mercy that preserves you. Otherwise, you will have been consumed. It is that mercy that held you so that you didn't faint. Otherwise, you will have fainted. It is that mercy that helps you to be faithful. Otherwise, you would have denied me. Do you get it? And that mercy helps you to triumph. You know, there's a statement. You know, we say the statement a lot, but we need to understand it. It says, it's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Should we not will? Should we not run? We should. But after you have done all, and the mercy of God does not cooperate with it, it's still been, because there will still be some shortfall that the enemy will take advantage of. There's one phrase I love in Psalm. That's Psalm 112. He said, "The Lord is my shade at my right hand." He said, "The Lord is my keeper." Then, "is my shade at my right hand." You need to understand the context, concept in which David wrote that statement. You see, he's a warrior. The sword is always on his right hand. The shield is on the left hand. That right hand is not protected. So when he's fighting, that right hand is exposed. So if the enemy attack from the right hand, the enemy will win. So he needs a shade on that right hand. That's mercy. Do you get it? That's mercy. So if you're at war, of course you know how to fight. You are a valiant man. You know how to use the sword. You have a shield. But there's still a side that's not covered. So mercy has to cover for you. Do you get it? So it must be part and parcel of your lifestyle to be looking unto the Lord for mercy. Yesterday, when I was in the pastorium, and I said, "Lord, have mercy." Pastor Greg, I said, you know, the truth is that sometimes you don't know that you need mercy because you feel you are strong. It's the time that you are strong most that you need mercy. That's when you need it most. Amen. 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 Mercy is for the honest. We know that. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Whosoever covereth his sin will not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh will obtain mercy. Amen. Amen. Let's read Psalm 147, verse 10 to 11. I want to harp on this mercy issue. We know much about praying in the Spirit. We have been taught that praying with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, I don't need to harp on it. Do you understand? We have been taught about, you know, keeping ourselves in the love of God. There are prayers that have been made for us to keep ourselves in the love of God. You know. Where's Psalm 147? Now, he said, "The Lord delighted not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." So, the person, amen, sir. Praise the Lord. Have you got the message there? You need to start hoping and looking to God for that mercy. Consciously and deliberately. Amen. Let's look at the scripture. Lamentations. Chapter 3. The dimension of mercy gives you hope. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Let's see verse 21. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Let's say it together. "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." What is giving him hope? Next verse. "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." At the time that Jeremiah was writing this, Jerusalem has fallen. The gates have been burned down. The people have been sent to captivity. Everything looks hopeless. It is the mercy of God that gives you hope in an hopeless situation. So, the prophet is saying, when I recall that mercy of God and I look for it, it gives me hope. That was what gave Abraham hope too. Against hope. So that his faith can produce. Amen. 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 So we are talking about three things about how to build ourselves on our most holy faith and all this associated to faith. The fourth one is by feeding and standing on the word of his grace. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 32. We read at the beginning. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified. Now, two things are involved in that. The word of God, it will build you up, and it will give you your inheritance alone. Is that what it says? There are two things. You don't only need the word of God. You need the word in a company of saints with set spiritual fathers. Amen. Do you understand? Now we know about the word. But there's a place for a word in a community of saints that you are together. Do you understand what I mean? Standing on that word, holding that word, running after that word. The reason why all of us believe on the things we are is because it's the same word that we are all. When Pastor Kunle was preaching in the morning on Sunday, I was looking at him. Then later, he said, he has preached my message. Well, it's the same word. Do you understand? And all that. Now, the inheritance that God wants to give us, if that inheritance of his glory that is going to appear in Zion, is going to come through the word and through the company under the set fathers. So, we need the Amplified. Okay. Let's read Amplified. Amplified. Give me the Amplified. Is there. And brethren, and now brethren, I commit you to God, I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care. I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commands and the counsel and the promises of his unmerited favor. It is able to build you up and give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul. Let's put our hands together. So, we feed on the word, we stand on it, but also in the fellowship of saints, under the covering of set spiritual fathers. We are privileged to have that kind of environment here. But we should appreciate it. That's part and parcel of what God is using to build us up on our most holy faith. Now, let's look at our Lord Jesus Christ. These five things, did the Lord Jesus practice them to build up himself? Praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping himself in the love of God, looking for mercy, feeding on the word, fellowshipping with the saints. Did he? He did. That was what he used to build. It's the same principle. God doesn't have any other different principle. We know he prayed in the spirit. In the days of his flesh, he offers up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. And it was hard unto him that was able to save him. And it was hard because he feared. So that settles that. He kept himself in the love of God. We know that always. In fact, he taught his disciples that you pray for your enemy, you love him, you love your enemy, those that despise, because that's what he does. That's how he kept himself, so that the wicked one can't touch him. We have talked about he looked for mercy. We know that. I mean, he taught the Pharisees, if you know, that they were omitting weightier matters, because he was keeping the weightier matters of judgment, self-judgment. You know, you judge yourself so that you not be judged. You look to God for mercy. Now, did he feed on the word? He did. When he was answering the devil in the wilderness, what did he say? It is written, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of, not by bread alone, but let's look at that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. I want to bring out something there. That he left us a pattern. Now, if he wasn't living by this, the devil would have flooded him. He said, no, you are not living by that word. He was living by it. That was why he came out spontaneously when the devil was tempting him. Now, did he fellowship with the saints under the, you know, fathers then? He did. Remember the Bible said it was his custom to always go to synagogue. The synagogue was the fellowship of saints that was then. And he was always there. Where did he hear the word that he had? It was in the synagogue. Like Pastor told us, you have to be rich to have these scrolls. So it was in the synagogue. But what happened? When he hears in the synagogue and he goes to pray in the spirit, God will expatiate it. Remember when he was talking to his disciples and the people? He said, what the Pharisees are telling you, do it too. They are sitting in the seat of Moses. But don't do what they are saying. Now, why? Because the Pharisees were actually teaching and preaching the word of God. The problem was that they weren't doing it. Did you get it? So when Jesus was going to the synagogue, he was learning from them. That's why he could see their fault here and there. He wasn't doing what they were doing, but he was hearing the law of Moses, because they were sitting in the seat of Moses and they were teaching out of the law. And he could find it in the book, so he was doing it. You remember when he was 12? The Bible said when he came to the temple, when he didn't follow them back, he was with the doctors of the law, hearing and discussing with them. That was his custom. So he followed that principle too. And he built him up. And when he got to the place when the building was fully complete, God appeared in his glory. Did you get it? That's a principle. Every time the building is complete, God will appear in his glory. We see it in the temple of Moses. When the tabernacle was fully reared, God appeared in his glory. We see in the temple of Solomon, when it was fully reared up, and they put the ark there, and they removed the stave, the glory of God came. When Jesus was fully built, the glory came. We see it in the upper room. When they prayed, waited, and all that, when they were in one accord and all that, after, in the appointed time, the glory came. The same thing will be fulfilled in our own case. Yes, okay. Now, let's quickly look at the why, so that we can begin to round up. Why should we build up ourselves on our most holy faith and these associates of holy faith? Let's start with Jude chapter 24. We are looking at the why now. This is Judges now. Jude. Now to him. Let's read it together. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The next verse. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. So that God can be able to keep us from falling. If we don't build up ourselves on our most holy faith and all this, you know, fruit of the Spirit that we are talking about, God, even though He has ability, will not be able to keep us. That's why when we read the Second Peter, He said, if you give diligence to do all these things, you will never fall. That's why Jesus never failed. He was always tempted. Not only that, so that He can present us faultless, blameless, perfect. It's the same synonymous terms in the presence of His glory. And immediately He presents us blameless, faultless, we are ready to inherit the glory. That's number two. That Acts chapter 20 verse 32 that we read, He said, that word of God is able to give us what? Our inheritance among the... That inheritance is the spirit without measure. Or in another terms, is the glory that we are talking about. Psalm 102 verse 16 says, when He finished building Zion, He will appear in His glory. So that glory we want to inherit will come. That's why we must build up ourselves. Number three, let's look at Jude again, verse 22 and verse 23. Why we must build up ourselves on our most holy faith. And of some, have compassion. Make a difference. Making a difference, yes. And others, save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire, eating even the garment spotted by the flesh. When we inherit the glory, then we'll be able to have compassion on those. Do you understand what I mean? They are our brethren, but they have gone the way of Balaam. Greediness. They have gone the way of Korah. Gainsaying. Resisting leadership. They have gone the way of Cain. Envying the brother that is doing the right thing. And wanting to kill him for doing the right thing. But God still wants to have mercy on them. He wants to have compassion on them. He's not willing that any... And we are the instrument that we use to have compassion on them. To save some. We are the Savior that is going to bring up upon Mount Zion. Obadiah 1:17 says, upon Zion, Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess a possession. And verse 21 tells us that upon Mount Zion will come up Savior, and the kingdom will become the Lord's. Number four. Why? So that we may arise, that the Zion Church, individually and corporately, as God's answer of peace to the kings and to the nations. You know, Pastor has talked about that so many times. The nation is waiting for us. The solution to all the problems of the world is not in the physical. If it was in the physical, they would have found it long ago. They would have done enough research and find it. It's not there. The solution is in the spiritual. It's in the people of God who will carry the glory. Just like Joseph. You know, when the king had the dream, the magician couldn't help him. The wise men couldn't help him. The king couldn't help himself. His servant couldn't help him until one of his servants said, I forgot my mistake, sir. There's one man. That man was in the prison. But it was the spiritual man who had the answer. They went to bring him. It happened in Daniel too. And it will happen in us. The world is waiting for us. For that glory. that we want to inherit to be an answer to the issues and the problems. Amen. Amen. Finally, that we may rule in the midst of our enemies. There is a war going on, people. Whether you are interested in the war or not. Whether you want to fight or you don't want to fight. There's a war going on. It hasn't just started. It has started. Amen. Michael and his angel are fighting with the dragon and his angels. And what will determine what happens in your life is who is winning the battle. And it will take the rod of strength out of Zion to rule. And that rod of strength is the glory we are waiting to inherit. So that we can rule over the enemies. You know, there's a shaking going on. They have been dismantled. But as we inherit the full glory, the shakable things will depart. And only the unshakable things of our God, the kingdom that cannot be shaken, righteousness, peace, and joy will be established. Having said all this, conclusion, it is our responsibility to build up ourselves. It's not God that will build you up, but He will give you everything you need. He has given you the Holy Ghost. He has given you the tongues. He has given you the set fathers. He has given you the mercy. He has given you the word. He has given you the body of believers. So it is your turn now. Take advantage of everything and do what? Build yourself up. Somebody say, I will build up myself. On my most holy faith. Amen. To the degree that we are faithful to this responsibility under God, and the set fathers, to that degree we will be rewarded. The glory will come to every person at their level of faithfulness. Thank you, sir. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, under the fathers. You remember the ointment that is coming from the head of Aaron? If you go through the bed, it will go to every part of the body, but it will meet you wherever you are. You get a portion of it. But every man according to his faithfulness. So let us be wise. Let us build up ourselves on this most holy faith so that we will not be ashamed when He appears. Let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. And with that, I will round up. Let us be wise. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fool. Let us be wise. Let's give ourselves more diligently to praying in the Holy Ghost, to keeping ourselves in the love of God, to looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life, to feeding day and night and standing, living by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, both from the book and from the fathers. And when He appears, we will not be ashamed. Amen. Let's begin to pray. Let's co-labor together with God in this regard so that His dream of filling the heart with His glory might be fulfilled in our generation. He has a dream. He has a passion. He has sworn it will come to pass.